Would you guys stand with me as we read the scriptures? And you could follow along on the overhead. Jesus said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he has made known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." Hallelujah. At this time, some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? And because I'm going to the Father?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You could take a seat. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Speak life from your word. As we abide and draw near to you, Lord, draw near to us, we pray. Let this word speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who are guests or haven't been here much this winter, we're working through the book of John, chapter by chapter. We skipped chapter 16 and 17 because apparently there was a Good Friday and an Easter thing that we had to do, and it didn't fit my preaching schedule. So I had to skip a couple chapters. So we're going back now to Jesus' farewell message to the disciples. He has not yet been crucified and resurrected. So he's guiding the disciples, as we talked a few weeks ago. He's guiding the disciples to understand what their posture ought to be. What are the things that they need to know going into the weekend? They don't know that he's about to die. They don't know that he's going to be buried and he's going to be resurrected and his body won't be found and then he'll start showing up in random places. They don't know this yet. So he's telling them, listen, there will be a time when things are going to get very difficult for you. Like, what are you talking about? We just did this triumphal entry just a couple of days ago. Nothing's going to get that hard. Well, maybe we're going to, you know, face some difficulties, but you're going away? Where are you going? But he's preparing his disciples and inviting them into this this gift, this relationship that he calls in Greek the paraclete, the helper. The helper will come. The paraclete will come. And according to the scriptures, this happens about 80 days after Jesus is resurrected. So we've got 40 days of his ministry post-resurrection, and then another 40 days where the disciples are in the upper room and the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, comes. And we went through that last summer, if you guys remember, through the book of Acts, and the works of the Spirit and how the Spirit compels the body, the followers of Jesus, into great works. And this is all kind of leading up to that. So these guys had no idea any of this was going to be happening. What's beautiful about this is, as Jesus is describing, that the desire of the Holy Spirit is to lead the followers of Jesus into the good life. That there is a blessed, holy, good life that the followers of Jesus get to be invited into. And that's not a painless life, as we can read. It's going to be difficult. In fact, the world will rejoice at times when you're sad and struggling. It's not an easy life to be a follower of Jesus. I want to caution you. If you haven't quite given your life to the Lord yet, maybe you're wishy-washy about it, I would encourage you, maybe take a minute to really think about it. Because if you really like your life and you don't want to go through difficulty, if you want to just have it easy, following Jesus is not easy. But if you're interested in a life of purpose and calling, knowing that there's something deeper, more purpose-driven, more hopeful, just know that life is going to be hard. That there's going to be challenges that you face. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, is going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do, that you know will be bad for your body. But He's got plans. I hope you can understand what I mean. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's some concepts that are a bit loose, and it's hard to understand what exactly the Holy Spirit is or who exactly the Holy Spirit is. I mean, my family loves the Star Wars universe thing. Are any of you guys, like, into Star Wars? It used to be a lot cooler until they ruined it with the 7, 8, 9. Yeah, we don't need to talk about it, but great storytelling. I love the adventure. It's not sci-fi, it's fantasy. It's kind of this mysterious world. But in Star Wars, there's the Force, right? And the Force is this kind of impersonal kind of field that when you interact with the field, it has magic powers, and you can do things like bad stuff, and you can do like good stuff with the field. We don't need to get the details about it, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, that's so pop culture. If you're not familiar with the Force from Star Wars, just talk to your neighbor. They will catch you up. But Holy Spirit's not this like vague force that's kind of present. It's not this kind of unseen reality that you have to learn to interact with. This is the hardest part for us, you guys. Holy Spirit is a person. It's a real third person relationship of the Trinity: God, Son, Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, I'm sending a helper, I'm sending a relationship to you, a friend. Someone who will walk alongside you. Someone who will know the deepest, darkest things. Someone who knows your call, your hopes. Someone who can talk to you and encourage you. Someone who will remind you of me, because I won't be here. And that Holy Spirit, this person, will walk with you. Here's a couple trite examples of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Some of us are lucky to have Apple Watches. I don't have an Apple Watch. I'm not great at wearing jewelry at all, but I really want one. They're so cool. They are. And they count your steps, and you can make phone calls with them, and they track your heart rate. And the newer ones, like if you get into a car accident, it's like, hey, I noticed you're in a car accident. I'm calling 911 on your behalf. And it's like, thanks, that's great. Thank you, Apple. So our healthcare benefit comes with this like bonus. And it's enough of a bonus that I could buy an Apple Watch. And I'm like, cool. Maybe I'll, cause one of the challenges, if you complete these challenges, you earn points and it's gamified and it's fun. And I'm like, okay, if I get an Apple Watch now, it will track my steps and I can actually complete this. So I'm looking at Apple Watches. I'm like, ooh, that sounds so, ooh, that one's a good one. And if you're anything like me, you start with the like used 5-year-old thing on eBay. And you're like, oh, what are the features of that? And then you start going from a $60 piece to like, oh, I want that feature. Oh, I want that feature too. And that one's cool. And suddenly you're looking at like a $400 watch and you're like, that seems like way too much. And I was about ready to pull the trigger, and I sensed the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, stop. You don't need an Apple Watch. You're not even going to wear it. You're just going to spend your money. And I'm like, but I really want it. He said, just wait and listen. If you get the bonus and you do all the points, spend the reward on an Apple Watch. I'm like, fine. So I didn't buy one. Here's another example. I'm trying to help you understand like how I connect with the Lord. It's most often through stubbornness. So I had my eyes set on one of those cool like steam cleaners. This is a totally random thing. But you know those steam cleaners and you can like clean tiles and it's got the wand and all sorts of cool stuff? Well, I found one on sale on Amazon. It was like $120 or something. And I'm like, yes, that's the one I want. And I had this sense, almost like the Apple Watch, where the Holy Spirit's like, you don't need this. I'm taking care of you. You know that, right? And I'm like, yeah, you're taking care of me by giving me a good deal on this. So I bought it, and it arrived. But I hadn't opened it yet. I was out, and if you know, me and Jess, we're thrifters. We love to go thrift store shopping. And I was at the Goodwill. I kid you not. I found a very lightly used, same brand, the Model Up steam cleaner for $10. And I felt that conversation in my heart going, I told you I was taking care of you, but you didn't listen. And I'm like, ugh. So I had to go through all the effort. And returning products on Amazon isn't that difficult. And I didn't open the package. But there's this matter of like trust. There's this invitation into the helper wants to be present, wants to not just provide good stuff, but it's like interacting with us. He's there and having conversation and knows our heart. And yeah, here's one more random story. Years ago, this is an old sentence. The fax machine wasn't working. And there was, I was relatively young in the faith, and we were at a Christian organization, and a woman needed to get a fax to our other facility. And the lady who was running the kitchen this was her office, and she's like, listen, I don't know why the fax machine's broken, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's calling us to pray. And I'm not kidding. I was standing there at the door of the office, and she laid hands on the fax machine, prayed and spoke life to the fax machine, and it worked. That is just weird, you guys. But I do want to encourage us that the presence of the Holy Spirit testifies, this is what Jesus says, he testifies of him, guides us to him, declares the truth of him, and glorifies our Savior Jesus. The relationship we have with Holy Spirit guides us into life, a good life. In the face of challenges, the Holy Spirit's present with us. So switching subjects a bit, when I was young, I was pretty good at darts. And, you know, when you play darts, you have to hit the mark in the middle, right? The bullseye. And Ashley, you could pull up that next slide. The mark, right? You've got the bullseye in the middle, and there's a game called cricket, and we had a cricket board in our apartment. And there were holes in the drywall, a lot of holes in the drywall. But I got pretty good at darts. You know, you go to the English pub and you drink some ales and play darts and you feel like an old Irishman. You know, like, it's just something fun about that when you're in your mid-20s. I got very good at darts. Sometimes it feels like our relationship with Jesus is like playing darts. That we're constantly trying to aim for this like bullseye, this magic bullseye. We're always in pursuit of just getting it just right. This is interesting, you guys. So, the word for sin in the Old Testament, chata, it's all over the Old Testament, simply means missing the mark. And it's very similar to someone who would, why can't I remember? When the Flintstones? Slingshots or shooting arrows. A sin is off the mark. You're not hitting the bullseye. Genesis 4:7 says this when sin is introduced. It says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, missing the mark, sin, it's like this personality is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. It feels like when we're trying to understand the nature of God and what he's doing and how do we get to the good life, there's this constant need to aim for the bullseye, like you gotta get it just right. But what is that mark? What are we aiming for? Here's my thoughts. I think we're looking at God's character when we're trying to hit that mark. And here's God's character, his perfect love, justice, his holiness. We can see some descriptions of this in words and instructions through the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments are there, and they're kind of these boundaries. It's like God gave a target for the Israelites with the Ten Commandments. It's a list of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, rewards and consequences. But I tell you this, the true mark, the thing that we're aiming for, is this fullness of a life with God. It's something he's intended, this life of harmony and hope, a life integrated. It's not a bullseye. And we know that in our heart, and we don't want it to be. But we keep doing it. A life with God is not an abstract target that we have to aim for. It's an embodied person whose name is Jesus. That's the mark. This perfect, perfect aim has already done the work for us. And here's the gift when he says, I'm sending you my helper. The helper is the one who reminds you that Jesus is the aim. Your relationship with Jesus is the target. You don't have to get it just right. The mark's already been hit. We work so hard to be good at aiming, guys. We want good. We recognize that righteousness and meaning and fulfilling life is part of our core draw. That's what we want. And I believe that is this desire to live into the image of God. God has planted that desire in our hearts. But the thing that keeps causing us to really miss this, our brokenness, our influence, the influence of the world, self-centeredness, our failings, the things that we keep doing but we can't seem to stop doing. Sometimes it's greed. Sometimes it's a habit that we just can't seem to break, an addiction. Friends, those aren't sins in just a moral sense. Those are attributes that go against the character of the love of Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit's calling us to live this good life, to follow Jesus, and we go do our own thing, we call that sin. Why? Because we're missing the mark. But that mark is not a moral good. It's not an ethereal idea. You don't just stop sinning and that makes you good. The invitation of the Spirit is to call us away from the sin and to turn around, repent. That word just means turn around. We repent from not living into the character of God, to living in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that God's calling us to aim at. It's not just not doing moral bads and doing moral goods. We are invited into abiding, hopeful relationship with a Creator. Holy Spirit is present and helps us to aim true, to remind us of the love of Jesus. He instructs us when we don't know where to go. When we do stupid things like wanting Apple Watches, Holy Spirit's there and he says, hold on, you don't really need that. Or when you're lusting after that $2,500 70-inch OLED TV at Costco, and you're like, man, the blacks are really black. The Holy Spirit says, hold on. What are we aiming at right now? What are we aiming at? Friends, Holy Spirit is not just this close relationship either. Holy Spirit, through power, provides us like wind, like fire, like strength, comes into our life, empowers us to live a good life. In the midst of challenges and difficulties and pain, Holy Spirit is there and reminds us of Jesus. And Holy Spirit is calling us to conform our lives to Jesus. When we yield to the Spirit, there is this like gradual change, what Paul calls transformation, where our minds begin to be renewed. We think differently when we stop aiming at the wrong target. We start aiming at a relationship with Jesus. Our lives begin to change. I've got a whole list of attributes of the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to go through them. Let's see if anything pops my interest here, though. No, we'll skip that. It's all right. It was my starting point for the whole outline, and I didn't have the heart to get rid of it. But know this. Holy Spirit, as a fully divine person in the Trinity, actively loves, actively guides, teaches and interacts with us. We are not alone in this. I think that's the hope. That's the thing that we have to hold on to when things get so difficult, when our lives are challenged. When we go into May, that's kind of one of the things that our group prayed for. May is hard. There's just so much going on. You're trying to get your plants in. Everyone's paid their taxes, so you don't have any money left, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do for the spring, and you spent money on airline tickets that you didn't have. Maybe that's a little too personal. And sometimes that feels lonely, doesn't it? It feels lonely. And here's the thing. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, that we have an unseen opposition. There is a character out there who is pushing back against the work of the Holy Spirit to convince us to not abide in that relationship. There is someone out there actively trying to convince you that you don't need God. We talk about our brokenness and how we misdirect our aim. Sometimes we make our own mistakes. But this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." It's not a person. "But against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." There is someone out there who is angry at God and wants to take it out on him by calling his creation to do the opposite things that he has designed them to do. When God calls us to justice and life, and goodness, and hope, and love. The enemy is there. These powers are calling us to pride, and individuality, and selfishness, and hate, and greed. All these things that feel so good. But then they're gone the moment we get them. So we keep striving for more and more and more of that. But I have to tell you this, you guys. Even in the midst of that, the always present, always listening, always there Holy Spirit knows you and sees you, prays for you, cries for you. Even when you lie, cheat, and steal from God, Holy Spirit is calling you to an abiding, loving relationship with Jesus. We've got all these false targets, but we have an ally in this fight. There is someone who's with us. Paul reminds us in Colossians 2, through the work of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have already won this fight. Why do we keep getting stuck in there? Well, we got to live in this world, right? Those powers are against us. They want to convince us to do our own thing. And it's very convincing because sin feels so good. Missing the mark satisfies a momentary craving. A momentary craving of a relationship that is abiding and always present. This thing that is like in us that calls us to hope, knows our pains and our wounds. But sin gives us just enough of a taste of that to call us away from it. Friends, we have a divine friendship through the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can go to that slide. I think he's struggling to keep up with the notes. Next one, there you go. We're going to invite up our worship team as I wrap up here. All right, so think about this. This is something I want you to be mindful of. And how does this work? Maybe this analogy helps. But think about your closest friends, a spouse, a best friend, someone who has taken a significant role in your life. Over time, have you noticed how you gain the same mannerisms? You use the same words. You like the same restaurants. You listen to the same music. Have you noticed that older couples look the same? Like, are you siblings? No, it's just something about the likeness of one another that you become similar. And you laugh at the same jokes. And you care about the same things. Maybe you find yourself wondering if you can have that kind of relationship with God. Consider this. If you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God dwelling in you, how much more profound can His love be in transforming who you are? It's not a mystery how people who have an abiding relationship with Jesus demonstrate the patience and grace and mercy of a Savior that we want to know. It's not an accident. There's an abiding relationship where their love for Him is changing their life. Again, that's not an easy call, but it's a good call. God will put His value in you. You will learn His desires. You will begin to speak and act in a way that suddenly it's like, that sounded like Jesus. That old person is dying. And friends, as we grow into our relationship with Jesus, we will become more like Him. I told this story some time ago. I had a car that had so many problems. And I didn't know at the time, but it was on its last leg. And I was driving from the YMCA back to work. I was working out at lunch, and I just had this voice in my heart that reminded me of the psalmist that some trust in horses and others trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of our Lord. And I parked my car in the garage or in the parking lot and went back out at the end of the day, and the car didn't start. Friends, Holy Spirit is abiding in our life. Sometimes that car doesn't start. But when we're present, when we're listening, when we're there, he says, listen, you might be going into some hard things right now, but I'm with you. I know that car is about to break down. It's going to be hard, but I'm with you. It's not automatic, but just like any friendship, abiding in the Holy Spirit requires time, attention, and a willingness to be open. We'll stand up as we go into this song, and I want to remind us, Holy Spirit is a living presence of God with you. His mission remains, testify of Jesus, to illuminate your path toward Jesus, and to declare the life-changing truth of Jesus, to bring him glory through your life. And he is here. He's right now. And he's ready. And he's calling you to do just that. So as we sing this next song, let's ask Holy Spirit to open our hearts to his mind, open our hearts to his work, that we might be fully known and to know the one who is faithful to stay present and reveal the love of Jesus.